Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're continuing our discussion of what it means to have eternal life. Eternal life is the uncreated life in God Himself. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life comes into your spirit, into your innermost being. It's the life that's in God, the life by which Jesus lived when He lived and walked on this earth as a man in union with His Father. Jesus is the God-man, fully God, fully man. On earth, He didn't live as God. He lived as a man. He put aside His rights and privileges as God and lived as a man in dependence on the life of His Father in Him. John 5:26 says, "For as the Father has life in Himself, so has He given to the Son to have life in Himself." When we believe on Jesus, we get united. Our spirit, our innermost being, is united to the life that's in Jesus as truly as a branch is joined to a vine, and we are born of God. We become His literal sons and daughters. 1 John 5:1 says, "Whosoever believeth Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Verse 11 says, "This is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life." The life we receive at the new birth is not live forever life. We were going to live forever before we knew Jesus. We were going to live in hell. The life we receive at the new birth is not an eternity in heaven with God, although we are going to have an eternity with heaven in God. No, the life that we receive is the actual substance and being in God Himself. John 1:4 says, "In Him is life." Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." There's life in God, and we get united to Him. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "He who's joined to the Lord is one spirit." The Bible uses three word pictures to describe the relationship we have with Jesus. Three word pictures describe that relationship and all depict union and shared life. Vine and branch, He's the vine, we're the branch. He's the head, we're the body. He's the husband, we're the wife. We have union with God through Jesus. The entrance of that life into our spirit is the beginning of a process of transformation that will ultimately make us like Jesus in every part of our being, spirit, soul, and body, completely free from all the effects of sin, corruption, and death. Now, we need to learn to walk in dependence on that life, and we're going to get there. I don't know if we'll reach it today, but we're going to get there. We struggle with all this. You know, this, like I said yesterday, these are lessons that people think aren't practical. I got real problems. I need real help. But what if you learned how to walk like Jesus walked when He was on this earth? He lived in victory continually. The standard for Christian behavior is walk as Jesus walked. 1 John 2:6. That's what it says. If any man says he abides in Christ, he ought to walk even as Jesus walked. If we don't have within us the ability to walk as He walked, then it's unjust of God to ask us to walk that way. See, God is so good. He gives us the ability to walk as Jesus walked by uniting us to Jesus as truly as a branch is joined to a vine. But we struggle with this because we don't see reality as it truly is. We don't see what we are now that we're born again. We don't see ourselves as God sees us. We see ourselves as weak and unworthy because that's how we look and that's how we feel on the outside. But we're not weak and unworthy anymore. I know you look that way. I know you feel that way. But there's been a tremendous change in you, in your spirit, if you're born of God. See, there's more to you than what you see and feel. There's more to me than what I see and feel. We have a physical, visible part, which is our body, and then we also have an inward, immaterial part. 2 Corinthians 4:16 speaks of the inward man and the outward man. It says, "Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day." The outward man is our physical body. The inward man is made up of our spirit and our soul. Our soul is our emotional and mental faculties. Our spirit is capable of union with God, who is spirit. We've said this all along, and I'm going to keep saying it. The goal of salvation is the total transformation of the entire man. Maybe I'll save that for a couple weeks from now. Let me read this verse to you. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved sound and complete and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. See, it's a package deal. Complete transformation into the image and conformity to the image of Christ. You become like Jesus in holiness and power, character and love. You're still you, but you're the you you were always meant to be, the you freed from all the effects of sin, corruption, and death in every part of your being. That's our destiny, and God accomplishes that through the life that comes into us at the new birth. We undervalue what happened to us at the new birth. One, because of lack of knowledge, we don't know. That's why we're taking time to talk about this. And two, because we have a faulty view of the inward part of our makeup. See, and please hear me out here, because I may step on some toes here with what I'm about to say. We erroneously refer to conversion as asking Jesus into our hearts. And I know many of you have prayed with people and had them ask Jesus into their heart. Some of you are banking on the fact that your children or your grandchildren have asked Jesus into their heart, even though they live like the devil. You're hoping that they're good. I don't want to take anybody's hope away from everybody, but my job as a teacher is to be as scripturally accurate as possible. The phrase, ask Jesus into your heart, is not found anywhere in scripture. What we find is give your life to Jesus, live for him, take up your cross and follow him, leave all and follow him. That's a whole can of worms for another day. But the point for our discussion right here, right now, is this. The idea of asking Jesus to come into your heart gives the impression that whatever takes place at the new birth takes place in a little heart-shaped dot in our chest. I've seen tracks that look like, you know, with the little gospel tracks people pass out, where there's a little chair in your heart, and who's sitting on the chair? You or Jesus. I get the point that they're making, but it really undermines our picture of ourselves according to the scripture. Luke 16, I do not have time to read it. It starts in verse 19 and goes down to verse 31. You can read it on your own, but let me just talk about this for a minute. Jesus spoke about two men who died at around the same time, a rich man and a beggar named Lazarus. And in this incident, we get some key points about our inward being, the place where eternal life now dwells if Jesus is your Savior and Lord. In this incident, in Luke 16, let me just read a few verses. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, and being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. That's all I'm going to read right now. There's a lot in there we just don't have time to discuss, but here's the point for this lesson. When somebody dies, if your body stopped working right now, if my body stopped working right now, at death, the inward man and the outward man separate. That's what happens at death. At death, the inward man, the soul and the spirit, separate from the physical body. The body goes into the grave, and the inward man, spirit and soul, goes either to heaven or hell, depending on what they do with Jesus. Now, if you read this whole passage here, you're going to find out these two men were not little heart-shaped dots. They still looked like themselves. They actually recognize each other. They recognized people who had died before them, They have memories and interest in the life that they left behind. But the point for our discussion is this. They were completely recognizable. If you and I were in the same room together and I died in front of you, my body stopped working, and you were given the ability to see into the invisible realm, you would see me step out of my body just like I step out of my clothes at night when I get ready to go to bed. I would look like me, except all the effects of aging would be gone. The wrinkles, the gray hair, it would all be gone. I'd be fully recognizable because our spirit fills our body. Heaven is not filled with a bunch of little dots, heart-shaped dots with name tags. It's filled with full human beings. Every part of them. Your inward man looks like your outward man. Your spirit fills your body. And your inward being was transformed at the new birth by the entrance of eternal life. Now, I know your mind, your emotions, and your body were not directly affected. Your mind has to be renewed, your emotions have to be purified, and your body has to be brought under control of the Word of God and your recreated human spirit. But your spirit fills your body, and the part of you that has been transformed is bigger than the parts that have not yet been changed. See, James chapter 2 verse 26 says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." Your spirit fills your body. The body without the spirit is dead. If there was no spirit in your little finger, your finger would be dead. Jesus is the life of your spirit now through union. The life of the vine is now the life of the branch. Your spirit is alive with the life of God, and your spirit fills your entire body. If you stepped out of your body, you'd still have 10 fingers, 10 toes. In fact, if you've lost a body part, you'd have it. It didn't get cut off your spirit. I don't know the mechanics of all that. That's a whole can of worms for another day. But here's our point. The Apostle Paul knew he was bigger on the inside than on the outside. And he knew that the changed parts were bigger than the unchanged parts. And that made him a conqueror. We're going to look at him in some detail over the next couple of weeks. And that man, he learned to walk in this life as Jesus walked. He walked in victory in extremely difficult circumstances. He knew he was bigger on the outside than on the inside. He knew the changed parts of him were bigger than the unchanged parts. See, for us, the unchanged parts seem overwhelming. And all that's happened on the inside is a little dot in me has something in it. But you're bigger on the inside than on the outside. More tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.